It's a pleasure for Linda and I to be here with you today on this beautiful summer Sunday morning. And it's really nice, as Susan already mentioned, that our son, Reverend Andrew Bunner, and his wife, Angela, and our three grandchildren, Valerie and Meredith and Stuart, are with us today. So good to have family with us today. And granddaughter Meredith asked just before the service started, "Papa, are you going to be preaching here next Sunday?" And I said, "Well, it just depends how I do today." So, yes, I'm hoping to, you know, to be a good fella today and mind my manners. Anyway, it's real nice to be here. It always is nice. And Reverend Edwin and Joan, we sure appreciate them as friends in the faith as well. Always like to start with a little bit of humor. And so I looked into my humor file, and I've got four things to share with you to start before we read the scripture. The bad news is I accidentally took the wrong medication today. The good news is I'm now protected from heartworms and fleas. Here's another dog one. If my dog has taught me anything, it's if you're tired, just lie down anywhere. I always knew that one day I'd end up face down in the gutter. I just didn't expect everyone to keep on bowling. Do you ever feel that way? Has life ever thrown you a curveball and you just felt so low down? I think we've all experienced it. So let's hear what Psalm 121 has to say to us today. I'm reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. And this is what the psalm says. I really like the psalms all year round, but I think especially in the summer, for reasons that Susan's already mentioned and her reading of Psalm 8 as well. The psalms really emphasize the creative power of God in so many places. And Psalm 121 is certainly one of the best to do that. So here's the scripture, the word of the Lord today. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. So the Lord is just reminding us there at the end that his help is there for us. It's going to be there for us all the way through. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you for this chance to be together as people that love you and are seeking to follow you with your help. And Lord, I pray that you would just bless this word that you've given me and your scripture to each heart, and may each person who is here today leave this place encouraged and feeling hopeful in the Lord. I pray in Jesus' name and to his glory. Amen and amen. I was saying to Susan before the service, I don't get out preaching as much when I used to preach at my church every Sunday and maybe two or three times a week. You don't have the voice you used to have, so that water may come in handy. It already has. The emphasis today, sermon title, as you can see from your bulletin, is "The Lord Who Made Heaven and Earth." So that is the last part of verse 2 of this psalm. Now, the Psalms to me have so much nature and God's creation emphasis in them. As with this classic psalm, which begins, "I will lift up my eyes to the hills," which is an easy thing for us to do over in Wasaga Beach in Collingwood because of those blue mountains over there. We can easily lift up our eyes to those hills. And God's word in the Psalms shows us and reminds us of the intricate design of all things. When we consider God's creation out there around us, but then when we look at the human person, the human body, it is absolutely amazing how we are put together. I do not believe that we are an accident as the human race. I think we are God's very special, special creation. This is the point I want to make today, and this is the point this psalm makes, I believe. And it does me so much good to remember this. I hope it does you. First thing I want to leave with you today is this thought, that God is none other than the maker of heaven and earth and the universe that we live in. This is who we're talking about when we come to this psalm. It's who we look to as God's people. It's who we believe in as Christians. Or if you're here today and you're not yet a Christian, you haven't opened up your heart and let Jesus Christ come in, you can look to the God who made heaven and earth. And he can change your life. He can transform your life if you're not yet a Christian. I'd encourage you to open up your heart and allow Jesus to come in this very day and have your life begin to be totally changed for the better, for now and for eternity. So this psalm emphasizes the fact, and really this is my emphasis today, that God is the maker of heaven and earth. And we can count on that fact. We're going to sing, I didn't realize this, I gave Marion a little bit of guidance as to, well, the sermon title, and suggested, well, maybe pick out a hymn that talks about God's creative power. And she couldn't have picked out a better one than "I Sing the Mighty Power of God." I became aware of that hymn not long after I was converted to Christ when I was a teenager. But I'm going to say the words for you, quote the words for you, and we're going to sing them to conclude today. You're familiar with them. They're powerful. They're wonderful. "I sing the mighty power of God that made the mountains rise, that spread the flowing seas abroad and built the lofty skies. I sing the wisdom that ordained the sun to rule the day. The moon shines full at his command and all the stars obey. I sing the goodness of the Lord who filled the earth with food, who formed the creatures through the word and then pronounced them good. Lord, how thy wonders are displayed where'er I turn my eye, if I survey the ground I tread or gaze upon the sky. There's not a plant or flower below but makes thy glories known, and clouds arise and tempests blow by order from thy throne. While all that borrows life from thee is ever in thy care, and everywhere that we can be, thou God art present there." Aren't those powerful words that talk about God's creative power? He who made the heavens and the earth. Secondly, today I want to leave with you this thought. Our help comes from the Lord. That's what this psalm says. "I'll lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence does my help come? My help comes from the one who made the heavens and the earth." Let me ask you this question today. Have you not experienced his help as a Christian time and time and time again in your life? I know what my answer to that question is. I'm so thankful for his help. It's wonderful to become a Christian. It's wonderful to have a born-again, new life experience from the inside of our being to the outside of our being. It's wonderful to become a forgiven person. There's so much that is wonderful and new about the beginning of the Christian life when, with and in Christ. Remember what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5? He said, "If any person be in Christ, he or she is a new creation." There is a new creation. And I look down here in this congregation today and I say, there is a new creation. And there's another one over there. And there's one back there. And we know what the Apostle Paul means if this experience has happened to us in our lives. So it's wonderful to become a Christian and know the power of the one who made the heaven and the earth to change us and make us over anew from the inside out. But as we go on in the Christian life, we also discover that we are not immune to testings. We are not immune to temptations. We are not immune to troubles or sorrows or griefs. Remember what Jesus said in John 16, verse 33? In this world, you will have tribulation. You can count on it. What's the rest of what he said? But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Wow. To have Christ the overcomer in our hearts and lives means, and we know it's true, if we've been going on in the Christian life for a number of years or even a number of months, he's helped us time and time and time again. So in those types of times especially, we discover and we rediscover as we turn to the Lord for assistance that our help certainly does come from the Lord. And we can overcome the world through him, through his presence in our life. And to that fact, I say praise God today. And I say great is his faithfulness. Therefore, I want to leave you today with these simple Bible truth reminders. First of all, I want to say to you, he is able to save you. He is able to save you. Because he is the Almighty God, and he can and he will do what he says he will do. Well, what does he say? He says in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 2, "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If any person will open the door to their heart and life, I will come in and sup with them, fellowship with them, and they with me." I will come into your heart and life. There was a time I didn't believe that was true at all. Thought that must be an impossible thing. But then finally, when I was a teenager, I came to the point where I said, "Jesus, yes, please, come in." And he did. And he's made all the difference in my life. In the Gospel of John, chapter 1 and verse 12, it says, "As many as would receive him, to them he gives the power to become the children of God. Even to as many as would just believe on his name." So Jesus says, the gospel says, "Receive me, invite me in, believe on me. And I'll prove who I am, the maker of heaven and earth in your life." Most wonderful thing I experienced when I became a Christian is the forgiveness of my sins. Knowing that his blood that was shed for me cleansed away all my sins that I'd committed. And even at the age of 17, I knew that I'd committed sins and I was a sinner. But he forgave my sins and he cleansed me totally with his blood. And he gives us the internal power to come away from those sins if we'll turn from them and keep our hand in his. The forgiveness of sins. The maker of heaven and earth can forgive your sins. And when he does it, you'll know it. You'll feel so clean from the inside out. You'll wonder why you waited so long. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9 says, "If we'll confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." A verse that the man shared with me the night I gave my heart to the Lord years ago was from Psalm 103 and verse 12. He said to me, "John, do you know that the Bible says that when God forgives your sins, he removes them from you as far as the east is from the west?" Psalm 103 and verse 12. Man, I thought, that means I'm going to be completely forgiven. Wow, what an experience. Another thought I want to leave with you today is God is able almightily to help you in your Christian life and walk. If you're here and you haven't given your heart to Christ, well, come to him, receive him, invite him in. Let him forgive your sins and cleanse you. But I want to remind you folks as Christians today what I need to be reminded of. I think it's why we are encouraged to read the scripture on a systematic basis, so we keep getting reminded of all God wants to do for us. All the maker of heaven and earth wants to do in our lives if we'll give him a chance. He is able almightily to help us in our Christian life and walk. There are so many scriptures that assure us of the Lord's help, especially as we become willing to seek him in a special way. Especially even at times when we get really feeling the pressure. Isn't it wonderful to know that the scriptures give us permission to cry out to the Lord? Have you ever cried out to the Lord because you've been in the place where you needed to cry out to the Lord from? I have been. He's helped me every time in my Christian life. Sometimes it comes to that. He is able to deliver the help. Why? Because he is the maker of heaven and earth. He made it all. Is he not able to do something in our lives if we'll give him a chance? He certainly is. That's what the psalmist is saying here. He is the Almighty God. A passage of scripture that's meant a lot to me. Actually, I think I first learned it in song form way back in my early Christian days at a Christian camp. Jeremiah 29 and verses 13 to 15 say this, "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I've driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. Because you have said, the Lord has raised up prophets for us in Babylon." So on and so forth. The scripture in verse 14, Jeremiah 29, says, if we'll seek the Lord, he'll find us. We'll find him. And we'll know his help in our lives. I love that scripture passage. I want to say this to you today. It's as simple as this. All you got to do is call. All you got to do is call. Now, at home, I am one of these probably very rare creatures who has a Wi-Fi sensitivity. I'm convinced of it. We've tried Wi-Fi 2 times, and I get headaches when we've got it in our house. But we're trying it again, and we have a little bit of a compromise worked out in the house. We're going to have it on in the daytime and off at night. Just pull the plug. And I want to say it's working. I'm not getting those headaches. I usually woke up with a headache and went to sleep with a headache, and off and on through the day with it on all day long. Okay, folks, it's just me, okay? I Google it, and it's kind of radiation sensitivity, they say. But we went back on the Wi-Fi. So I'm at home, and I'm garaging. That's what I call it. I also call it my office. And I sit out there, and I watch the world go by and the neighborhood go by. That's how hard retirement is, you know. So I'm sitting in the garage and watching the world go by, and I'm listening to what I can get on Wi-Fi off of TuneIn Radio. Does anybody familiar with that? Well, anyway, it's kind of neat because I don't know if you like country music, but I like a little bit of country music, and I figure if you're going to listen to country music, you better listen to the best station of all, WSM Nashville, Tennessee. And so TuneIn Radio just brings that right in via Wi-Fi. I'm sitting out there, and I'm listening to it a bit, and I hear this song that I never heard before by Reba McEntire, which I thought really, really does apply to what I'm talking about today. So I want to read, not all the words, but I want to read you some of the words from this song that just hit me, because I knew I was coming here and I knew what I wanted to talk about and where the scripture was, Psalm 121. And so here, you judge for yourself what you think. Well, back in 1876, an old boy named Bell invented a contraption that we know so well. By the 1950s, they were in everybody's home. There's a crazy little thing they call the telephone. Now, there's one in every corner, in the back of every bar. You can get one in your briefcase, on a plane, or in your car. So, tell me why. Why haven't I heard from you? Tell me why. Why haven't I heard from you? I said, now, darling. I said, now, honey, what is your excuse? Why haven't I heard from you? Now, there's no problem getting to me. Baby, you can dial direct. I got call forwarding, call waiting. You can even call collect. Now, when the service man, he told me that my phone was working fine, and I've come to the conclusion the trouble isn't with my line, I'm sure the operator will be glad to put you through. So dial 0 for assistance if this all confuses you. So tell me why. Why haven't I heard from you? Tell me, why haven't I heard from you? I said, now, Christian, I said, now, brother, sister, what is your excuse? Why haven't I heard from you? I can't sing it the way she does, but the message got through to me, and I said to myself, you know, I wonder if that's what God's up there thinking sometimes. Because if you are like me, there are times when I'm aware that I'm in a struggle or have something I really need to come to the Lord about, and I do it right away. But there are other times when I wait 2 or 3 days. And then I wonder why. Why didn't I come to him sooner? And there are times when I've gone longer than that. And boy, I really get wondering, why didn't I call sooner? And I think really that's what God sometimes is thinking. Why don't they call on me? And I say today, why don't we call on him? We are his children after all. He loves us. He wants to start a love relationship with us if we're not Christians yet. He wants to renew it if we need renewing in our lives. With the maker of heaven and earth, with Almighty God, isn't it good to know all we've got to do is call? All we've got to do is call. So consider these scriptures, if you would, in conclusion today. Jesus says in Matthew 7 and verse 7, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be slammed shut in your face. No, the door will be opened unto you. He only asks us to ask, to seek, to knock. Hebrews 4 and verse 16 was a scripture I was thinking about along with Psalm 121 before I came up with the rest of the information I'm sharing with you today. But it's a wonderful, wonderful scripture, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. It says, let us come therefore boldly before the throne of grace, there to find mercy and help in the time of our need. Isn't that something? The maker of heaven and earth, who can get things done in our lives and in the lives of others that we pray for, says, come to me boldly. Come to me. After all, I am your heavenly Father. I love you. I love you. Hebrews 11 and verse 6, there's a Bible principle there that is so important. The writer of the Hebrews says that God is a rewarder of those who will diligently seek him. So sometimes we've got to go beyond the simple prayer and call out to the Lord, and sometimes even cry out to the Lord. Be diligent. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed to be diligent in your calling out to the Lord. And James says it so well, sums it up so well. You know, folks, he wrote in his little book, you have not, and I'll tell you why. You have not because you ask not. So, question today is this. What's keeping you and I from asking God for the help we need right now? The Maker of heaven and earth may just be wondering right now, why haven't I heard from you? So don't rely on your own human strength. Don't rely on your own human smarts for what you need now, the help you need now. Call on Him, the Maker of heaven and earth, the Creator of heaven and earth and the universe will most surely help you. And I know that's true because He's done it for me and He can do it for you. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for the reassurance from your word that you are there for us to call upon. And help us not to hesitate. Lord, you know we do hesitate sometimes. We depend on ourselves and our own strength. And we pay for that many times. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us today that we need not wait. We should come to you sooner rather than later. And you, the Maker of heaven and earth, can get it done in our lives as we give you that chance. I pray for the one or two or three who are here today, perhaps who haven't opened their heart's door to you today, Jesus. I pray they'd open their heart's door to you today and receive you into their life and the change that you will bring for the good and the complete forgiveness of sins. And Lord, just guide those that are here at the front of the church as the service concludes. Bring people forward that need to give their hearts to Jesus to talk to these good folk today. And we'll just thank you, Lord, for your love and goodness. And we praise your name today and always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.